You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program to put some money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network as the countdown to the Super Bowl continues. We break it down. Steve Merrill joins us, ProSportsInfo.com's one of the covers experts. Steve Merrill throws it down with us. The LV Westgate released a plethora of props last night. We'll sift through some of them. We're going to talk Super Bowl 51 props with Merrill. We'll take a look at the line, which way the line is going to go, if it's going to go anywhere at all. I'm surprised there hasn't been more movement, but the movement will begin midweek next week. Does the movement even matter? As we've told you, the outright winner of the Super Bowl has covered a point spread 42 times. So the point spread doesn't really matter all that much in the Super Bowl generally. Surprisingly enough, despite all the analysis that people will spend talking about it. All right, so Pat Mayo. Pat Mayo's not going to be with us next Friday, so he joins us this Friday. He'll give us his Super Bowl selection. We'll take a look at the props with Pat Mayo. Cam Stewart in studio. We're taking a look at some props with Cam because there's so many props, guys. There's literally like 600 props. We won't even have time to get to them all. I'll probably have about 15 to 20 props circled, and then I'll try to narrow that list down. You know, we massacre the Super Bowl props, or at least we have over past years, but looking at the opening numbers for these props this year, extremely difficult. We expected this, actually, because the total is so high that all the props are going to be so high. You know, like Julian Edelman, over under receptions is 7.5, man. All right, like, you know, 6.5, okay. 7, he needs to catch 8 balls right now. Julio Jones, for the record, 6.5 receptions for Julio Jones. Cam Stewart's going to join us in studio. We'll talk some of the more ridiculous props. We'll get more serious next week with the number props, but we'll take a look at some of the stupid props right now, the degenerate specials, so to speak. And I know the Raging Redhead is fired up. I think he's got a couple of winners circled already. And in fact, we're going to talk about the Puppy Bowl today. As from what I understand, Team Ruff is -8.5 points against Team Fluff. I don't know. Sounds like a lot of points to be laid to those scrappy pups, Team Fluff. We're breaking down Team Ruff and Team Fluff today. And, oh, yeah, we've got a big horse race coming up tomorrow. It's the Pegasus Invitational, big-time stuff. California Chrome, remember him? He's racing. So the Ranger Redhead Cam Stewart's our equine expert. All right, so we got a ton of stuff to get to on the program today. I got a ton of picks. And, oh, yeah, we also have a DraftKings lineup for you. And we got the Pro Bowl, and you know, you're kind of forced if you're playing, you know, warning right now, hey guys, if you plan on playing the Super Bowl, you better get in on the Pro Bowl. You can just take one guy if you want, but you better get in on the Pro Bowl. And I'll tell you some Pro Bowlers that I think are good DFS plays to mix in with the Super Bowl. All right, so speaking of the Pro Bowl takes place this Sunday, I guess, does it? I don't know. The National Football League does a lot of things right. They do a lot of things wrong, but it's hard to argue with their overall success. You know, the Super Bowl is a monster. It's the most viewed program on an annual basis in the United States. Now, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, have a hard time comprehending that there's a world outside of North America. You know, the Super Bowl isn't the World Cup. The Super Bowl isn't the Olympics. But by North American standards, the Super Bowl is as big as it gets. You can't argue with the National Football League's business model, but it's amazing to me that, you know, they're number one with a bullet, and they're so successful, yet they're so stupid at the same time. So first off, I don't even know where to start with this, but I'm one of the few people that actually love the Pro Bowl. I've always loved the Pro Bowl. I used to bet more money on the Pro Bowl than I would bet on the Super Bowl. It was an automatic over, man. It put up like 84 points, 90 points. It was entertaining as hell. They're throwing bombs, they're running reverses. And it was a great time. Unfortunately, it was too much of a good time, and Roger Goodell doesn't like anybody having fun. So Roger Goodell said, oh yeah, you guys were running reverses on kickoffs, and you had fullbacks throwing passes. This is an abomination. No, it's called fun. It's called a bunch of football players out on a field having a good time playing some parking lot schoolyard football, so to speak. Goodell had to put an end to that. And you know what else Goodell had to put an end to? We're not going to Hawaii anymore. You know why? Because they're not going to renovate their stadium. We have gazillions of dollars, but let's make the Hawaiians renovate their stadium because we go there once a year. And it costs us too much money. So let's put the game in Orlando. You know, never mind the tradition of Hawaii. Goodell doesn't care about tradition. He doesn't care about anything. You know, there used to be a world global junior championships. It used to take place in the same city of the Super Bowl, the week of the Super Bowl. And it was like all-stars from the state that was hosting the Super Bowl playing against all-stars from Canada, all-stars from Japan, all-stars from Germany. Teams came from all over the world. It was a great experience that built the National Football League up. Paul Tagliabue, who spent millions of dollars and countless hours building this tournament. What did Roger Goodell do? He killed it. Why are we doing this? Costing me money. I don't want to do this. You know, never mind the fact that Roger Goodell makes $44 million a year, all right? He can't afford to throw on a little junior high school tournament. No, you know. Why are we giving kids tickets to the Super Bowl? The kids used to get, all the players in the tournament used to go to the Super Bowl. And I think Goodell didn't want to give away like 400 Super Bowl tickets anymore. So he screwed the kids. Never mind the World Global Junior Championships. Screw the people of Hawaii. Let's put the Pro Bowl in Orlando. All right? People in Orlando don't want to be in Orlando, okay? I've been to Orlando. It's hell on earth. Like, seriously. It's hell on earth. You know, strip malls and Disney World, basically. That's Orlando for you. The players don't want to go to Orlando. You know, the bottom line is like 70% of National Football League players already live in Florida. They liked going to Hawaii. So Goodell screws the people of Hawaii. He screws the fans over by coming up with that stupid fantasy draft crap. Now it's back to AFC, NFC. And then another brilliant idea. Goodell moves the Pro Bowl from the week after the Super Bowl. Can you imagine the NBA All-Star game? Yeah, you know what? The NBA All-Star game. But no, LeBron's not playing. Kevin Love's not playing. Kyrie Irving's not playing. Steph Curry's not playing. Kevin Durant's not playing. Klay Thompson's not playing because they have to play in the finals in 4 days. Yeah, it makes perfect sense to have the Pro Bowl. What about all the Atlanta Falcon players that made the Pro Bowl? They don't get a Pro Bowl experience now. Yeah, I get it. They're going to the Super Bowl. That's cool. You don't think they would also rather have gone to Hawaii the week after? It's like a reunion for the players. Some of them bring their families. Some of them bring their girlfriends. Some guys go to the casino and get wasted every night. Everybody enjoyed it. And, you know, of course, Goodell, no. Now, I understand, the Pro Bowl has always sort of been the garbage of all the All-Star games, so to speak. But that's the problem. It doesn't have to be. Now, the National Football League actually came up with a half-assed good idea with a skills competition. Unfortunately, they put the skills competition on a Thursday night. Did anyone even know there was a skills competition last night? I know everything, and I found out yesterday, because I saw they were dropping drones. Drones dropping footballs. I'm like, hey, that's pretty cool. You know, did we see it? No, we didn't see it. I don't even know what network it was on. I guess it was on the NFL Network, I suppose. Does anyone even get the NFL Network? So you guys have a skills competition that you put on Thursday. You know, the NBA slam dunk competition. I went to the All-Star game last year. Tickets for the slam dunk competition were more than the damn game. The home run derby is bigger than the All-Star game is now in Major League Baseball. You guys have an opportunity to spotlight, you know, Odell Beckham loves walking around with his shirt off. You could have Odell running around shirtless, catching balls with one hand, playing dodgeball, catching drones, and all this other crap. People would have watched it. If it wasn't buried on a Thursday freaking night, you didn't tell anybody about it. You know, it's to the point right now, and I've always defended the Pro Bowl. But the bottom line is right now, why don't you just, announce the Pro Bowlers, announce the All-Pros, and that's that. There is no freaking game. Because if the National Football League and Goodell care so little about the game, it's hard for me to care about it. Game time decision continues. Game time decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We've got a great show. Cam Stewart's going to join me in studio in a couple of moments at time. Pat Mayo will join me in studio after Cam Stewart. We're talking props. We're talking horse racing. We're talking Super Bowl. Well, we're talking everything. So let's bring in, without further ado, let's bring in Steve Merrill, run the gauntlet. We'll talk some Super Bowl props, a little NBA. We'll get Steve's take on that Dayton VCU game tonight as well. Always a pleasure, Steve. What's going on?
Hey, Gabe, doing well.
So it's Dave Cornegate. The Westgate released the serious props last night. I've begun to kick the tires on them a little bit. To be honest, though, I'm not at the Westgate right now. So, you know, a good example is, Steve, I saw that Vegas posted 300 yards for Tom Brady. Offshore, it's 315 everywhere. So, you know, there's a discrepancy with some of these numbers. And, you know, when we bet during the regular season, Steve, you know, you generally only have a lot of props for the primetime games. You'll have a few general props for the other games. And the numbers are all generally the same in every book. But this time of the year right now, this is the time when you do want to have multiple accounts at different places, isn't it, Steve? Because this is, it's like Christmas. You really can go shopping for prices. There's going to be different prices for these props at different books.
Yeah, I mean, the old saying in the financial markets is diversification is the only free lunch. You know, in the sports betting markets, shopping for line value is a free lunch as far as I'm concerned. I tell my clients that all the time. If you're serious, you need two or three sets of lines because it's free money. You know, if you can get minus three at one book and plus three and a half at another book, you know, no matter which side you're on, you have a huge edge playing the better number in an NFL game. I don't know if the Super Bowl will ever move to 3.5 or 2.5, but that's a good example. But yeah, the props are the best example of all. Like you said, you get 10, 15, 20 yard differences on the exact same number, just having two different accounts. It's not like you got to pay extra. So if you're serious about it, you need to shop around. And it takes a lot of work. You know, the rotation numbers are different. It's tricky. I mean, when you've got 300-400 props to look at, they're not in all the same order at every book, and it takes several hours. But then again, if it's a difference of cashing a ticket or losing a ticket, it's worth that extra time.
You know, last week, Steve, I had the option of three different books. I love the Aaron Rodgers over prop, total completions. I've been riding that all season long with Aaron. And so I have multiple books. One of the books was 26.5. It was minus 130. Another place was 27. Another place was 27.5, like plus 105 type of deal. And I'm sure a lot of people to the naked eye would be like, oh, wow, what's the difference? If you like it at 26.5, then you're at 27. I was smart. I was like, no, man, I got it here at 26.5. I'm not touching that. That's a bad number. I got a good number at this book. And it's exactly it. I'll play some props at that place, some place at this place, wherever. And all books they all have their own characteristics, says Steve. Some books always jack up the long field goal number. Some others, you can get it at 42.5. So it's good to have those options. And case in point, the national anthem this year, Steve. As I see, books are posted a national anthem prop. Some people have it at 2 minutes. Some people have 207. It's as high as 215. That's a lot. That's a big discrepancy, man, when we're talking about an anthem of like 15 seconds, too.
Yeah, and Gabe, you sent me over some notes. I know you've done the research on it already. You can tell the viewers, I mean, there's been a big difference in his national anthems alone so far. I bet the NASCAR race 5 years ago versus the Viking game this year.
Yeah, that's why you notice they don't know what to do, right? Some people are like 2 minutes. Some people are like 2:15. Yeah, for the record, so Luke Bryan, country singer, doing a national anthem. He sang the anthem at a NASCAR race in 2012. It was 1:59. But he also sang the national anthem at the opening of the Minnesota Vikings Stadium. He did the anthem opening night, and he said what an honor it is to do the anthem here on opening night, and he milked it. He went 2:29. So if this guy thinks it's an honor to open up a Viking stadium, I imagine it's quite an honor to do the Super Bowl, Steve. I got to think over here.
I mean, the one thing you could figure is that maybe they're on a tight schedule and they give them a window.
They give them 2 minutes. They give them 2 minutes. They tell them you got 2 minutes. Try to keep it within that.
So, yeah, I think if anything's at 1:59 or whatever, you kind of got to, I don't know. You need, it's tough because you've got two totally different numbers there. And you would think the more recent game and an NFL game on top of that would carry more weight. And that's a whole 30 seconds over the total. But like you said, with the Super Bowl, you got to figure they're giving them a tighter window because everything's so scripted. It's a tough one. And as funny as this prop is, and as much as we like to talk about it, it's been very close to the number several times. Remember about 5 years ago, they paid out both sides at some sports books because it landed within like a half a second and she carried the final note. You know, it's been really close, surprisingly.
I remember the big controversy, actually. Yeah, it was the Packers and the Steelers Super Bowl. I think it was Christina Aguilera. Pretty sure.
It was, yeah.
That was the one. You know what it was? She added words.
She messed up a word.
Yeah, and stretched it out. And I think she might have done two Braves type of deal. You know, she went all like diva on it and started yelling at the the end, and people were pissed. Like, some books respected it, some didn't. It was a big, and that's the thing with these props. You got to read the fine print real carefully. Like, there's a good one. Will Joe Buck mention the odds? Last week, he said, I agree with Vegas. There should be a lot of points in this game. That's not mentioning the odds. You know what I mean? Like, it's always open-ended with this stuff, Steve.
Yeah, and it always says sportsbook manager's decision is final, and basically they all use NFL.com for the official box score numbers. That's not as much of an issue because obviously with the Super Bowl, the box score is going to be correct. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of general, you know, kind of a, you know, by the seat of your pants type, you know, judging on these things, and that's why Vegas doesn't allow a lot of.
Yeah, they don't allow it. Yeah.
National anthem prop because it is a subjective wager, and actually. I don't like the gaming commission that much or regulation in general, but they probably got that one right because it really is the wild, wild west with some of these props offshore.
Nah, but they should give people the opportunity to bet them. I mean, they don't let Olympic betting. They only started with the Olympics recently because a lot of the Olympic events,
judged, unlike fighting, though, which makes no sense.
I know, exactly. They were like, no, you can't, we don't want to do this because, like, the gymnastics, because of the judging, it could be corrupt.
Yeah, but there's a final result. When you're getting a gold, silver, and bronze, it's pretty clear.
I know, you can bet. Will they win a silver? I know. Win, play, show. They finally did it. Vegas is coming around. They've added fantasy football, actually, in some books. Fantasy football props, because they're getting killed by fantasy. All right, Steve, so here's one. First quarter, 13.5 points.
Right.
What do you make of this one? Everyone's, you know, just automatically thinking it's going to be a track meet. You and I often talk about this, and I know you're a big fan of will there be more points scored in the second half. We'll get to that in a second. And the second half is generally always the play. And if you think back to that Seattle game, I know Seattle scored right away and Atlanta scored right away, but it slowed down. I had the over. I was sweating it out. Last week, that game against the Packers, it was supposed to automatically go over. We had to sweat it out, you know, for it to go over. 13.5. Let's say the Patriots get the ball first. They run the ball. They eat up 6-7 minutes, Steve. 13.5, you need a clean ride. You need 2 touchdowns. I'm leaning under first quarter.
Yeah, and the Atlanta Green Bay game was, what, 10-0 at the end of the first quarter, and that still went over 60 for the game. Perfect example. Now we have another high total, 58.5. If you like the under, I always say it every year, you know, it's like a broken record. If you like the under, you're probably better off playing either the first quarter under or the first half under instead of the game.
Yeah.
Because what we see throughout big game history, not just the Super Bowl, we saw it in the title game a few weeks ago. Alabama-Clemson opened up in the fourth quarter as well with a ton of offense. It opens up in the second half for a couple reasons. First of all, the team that gets behind presses, so they get a little more desperate. You get some garbage points as well. But also, teams don't want to make the first mistake, and that's they come out very conservative normally in the Super Bowl. And Atlanta's a high-profile, prolific offense, but the concern I have with Atlanta in this game is the inexperience factor. So you could definitely make an argument. This could be a team that wants to come out a little more conservative than normal in this game. And then Belichick has the extra week to prepare. He's a game plan master. Say what you will about the Patriots. Belichick's still a great coach. He's had extra time to prep. So if anything, it might take Atlanta a little time to figure out what the Patriots are doing. So 13.5 is an ugly number that you really would like to get 14 or more. You look at the second quarter line, it's 14.5, 15, you know, so 13.5 is an ugly number, but historically the under in the first quarter has been a good play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I saw that. I was thinking maybe third quarter, fourth quarter's over. You're right. Like, I'm going to be looking at this. First quarter under 13.5. Interesting stats, too. Patriots are ranked fourth in the National Football League in fourth quarter points allowed. They only give up 5.1 points per fourth quarter. The Atlanta Falcons, Steve, 31st. They give up 9.4 points per game in the fourth quarter. Now, we can look at this like a weakness with their defense, or we could say, well, the Falcons were up a lot this year, and teams were scoring garbage points late. But nevertheless, from a game standpoint, you mentioned the inexperience, and you also mentioned a Falcons defense that gives up more points as the game goes on, as opposed to a Patriots stingy defense in the fourth quarter. That's another, seems to me, to be an advantage, New England. Super Bowls, 9 Super Bowls have had totals listed of 50 or more, Steve. The under is 6-3.
Yeah, it's a little surprising, actually, because normally when you have a high total, it's for good reason. We saw last week that the Green Bay game still went over the total. It was the second highest total in NFL history. This is the highest Super Bowl total ever at 58.5. It's all relative, though. It doesn't feel that high, you know, because when you see 70s and 80s this year in college football, you see a 61 last week. 58.5 seems like the new norm, but it's a big number. And with the layoff and the extra week off, there is a little bit of a pause for concern. Patriots defense, number one scoring defense in the NFL. Very misleading, though, because if you look at most of the other metrics, they're very middle of the pack ranking-wise, like around 15, 16. This isn't like last year when we really had two of the best defenses in Denver and Carolina. You know, we've talked about the MVP odds earlier, how it's hard to imagine neither quarterback gets it. I mean, one of the quarterbacks will get it. You know, like last year, you know, Von Miller got it as a defensive player. With the highest total in Super Bowl history, it's hard to imagine a defensive guy is going to dominate this game. And then again, we talked about the receivers. For either Edelman or Jones to get it, the quarterbacks have to be throwing touchdowns. So, you know, we go back to that. I just don't see a lot of defense in this game. It might stay under the total, but I still think both offenses hold the edge.
So that's right. So Tom Brady's minus 120 to win the most valuable player. The Patriots, it's going up on a money line right now, which means money's coming in on the Pats. I wouldn't be shocked to get to a 3.5, Steve, but I think they're a little bit worried. They don't want to put a 3.5. It's a waiting game. But I've been reading a lot of the odds makers, what they're saying. They're like, well, if we put a 3.5, we're going to get hit with Atlanta. And if we make it 2.5, then obviously it's not getting a 2.5. So, you know, if you like the Patriots, you might. It's not going down. It's only going to go up because the Patriots are minus 150 on the money line a couple of days ago, one book. And now I see the same book has it at minus 160. So that means that they're getting Pat money, but they don't want to give that hook at the 3.5 right now. So instead of laying 60 cents, is the 40 cents worth it, Steve? Minus 120 and 160. And then conversely, Matt Ryan's plus 175 to win the most valuable player, but you can get the Falcons at plus 140 on the money line. Is it worth it to go for the value? Five of the last seven Super Bowl MVPs, seven of the last eight have been quarterbacks, 27 out of 50.
What's crazy is that one book, most books, like you said, Brady's minus money. One of the most public square books has him at plus money and Ryan at over 2-1.
Well, you got to take that. Whatever book that is, if you have an account, take Tom Brady at plus money to win MVP. It's like you're getting the Pats at plus money to win the game.
I was shocked by that because this is a very public book.
What book is it? Bodog?
It's a Bravada, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
I was shocked by that. But I was shocked by that because they usually jack favorites 1 or 2 points, the over 1 or 2 points, and you would think the public would be all over Brady. It just shows the public likes big bets in the Super Bowl. But it's the only game of the year, Gabe, in which the public takes dogs more than they normally do, and they take plus money props. You know, for example, will there be three straight scores is always like minus 190 or something. It's always a good play, yet the public will play the plus 160.
Yeah, camera two, Drew's all excited. He told me, I already bet three scores in a row. No. I said, that's a horrible bet. There's always three scores in a row.
It happens all the time, and this is supposed to be, quote unquote, the highest scoring game ever. If it's ever going to happen, it'd be this game. So
he says it didn't happen last year.
It doesn't happen. I mean, but it happens more than minus 190.
I used to get suckered years ago. I remember I'd be, oh, it's going to be a close game. All right, there's no way someone's going to score three times in a row. That bet always loses. Exactly. I don't touch
that. That's the thing. And it's funny because this is when the public takes plus money. They never play plus money in the regular season. By the way, within the last hour, Gabe, I've seen several books go to minus 3, minus 105. So it's actually come down a little bit. And I see some minus 145s on the game line now out there. So.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
People like the Falcons. I hope they continue to like it. You know, so
I can't imagine it would ever hit 2.5 because I think the public will be on New England. The public money will come in next week, but I'm not so sure it's going to hit 3.5 either. It would take an avalanche of money next week because, as you said, sportsbooks extremely nervous about moving off the most key number in all of sports. NFL favorites win by 3 almost 10% of the time, so going from 3 to 3.5 gives them almost a 10% chance of getting cited in the game.
And it's been slow. There's been slow action, actually, in Vegas so far.
Sure.
People are betting the money. It starts next
week. The props weren't up until last night, like you said. I mean, it's just,
it's just getting started. Exactly. It's just getting started. All right, we only got a minute or two left here, Steve, so let's blast through the NBA. Bucks at Raps tonight. Raps in the midst of a 5-game losing streak. It's a low number, though. It was 4.5. I see it's up to 5 right now. Bucks have kind of been fading. 4-game road losing streak. Have lost their last 6 trips to Toronto. I think the Raptors are in a decent spot tonight. They got to snap this streak eventually. Rockets and 76ers, man. 76ers, 10-3 straight up their last 13 games. They've won 6 straight home games. They've been underdogs in all 6 games. They're getting 6.5, 7 tonight against the Rockets and another scorching team, the Wizards. And I've been riding them, man. Yeah, they've won 14 in a row at home. They're on the road tonight, but they're on a 9-2 ATS run. But they are 3-5 straight up last 8 on the road. And the Hawks are hot, too. They're on a 10-5 ATS run. Who do you like tonight?
Well, I went against Toronto with Memphis the other night, minus 5. They were up by double digits the whole game, only won by 2. But DeRozan out, Middleton out for Milwaukee. It's a tough game to touch. Philadelphia, a team that's tough to get in front of right now. They're a young team starting to play well. You know, ride that momentum. And I'm not still sure the point spreads have caught up. biggest game of the night is this Washington-Atlanta game. Hawks currently 1.5 ahead in the Southeast. These are two teams playing really well. Atlanta probably has the edge at home, although I like that backcourt with Wall and Beal. I think it's one of the most underrated in the NBA with the Wizards.
I think the Wizards are a dangerous team. We've got to get out of here, Steve. But Dayton VCU tonight, I'm taking the over.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. I don't have anything in that game. VCU plays a lot of these Friday night games. They're about a 5-point home favorite, so they might have the edge. They're used to being at home. Strong home atmosphere in the Siegel Center.
Always a pleasure, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right, Cam Stewart joins me in studio next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Moretti. We welcome Cam Stewart into the studio to continue our Super Bowl 51 prop conversations. But we'll also talk some ponies as well. Yes. We got the Pegasus World Cup Invitational for the high rollers.
Yeah. What is it? $7 million to the winner? Come on, baby. Let's go.
I believe it's $1 million entry.
Yeah.
Like if you own the horse, you want in. It's like, all right, here's my million stake. It's like a high stakes poker game
exactly.
for the rich guys.
Great call.
It's like, yeah, it's like all the rich sheiks and everyone showing up. Yeah. My horse is better than your horse. Here's $1 million on the table. Let's go.
Horse is 61. Who cares? I'm in for $1 million. Like, you know what I mean? Some guys have no chance in this race, too. That's
I know.
That's like they're literally pissing away $1 million.
That's
hey,
a good
man,
point.
It's cool.
That's a good point. Like, Todd Pletcher, well, he's not the owner, he's the trainer, but Neolithic, 20-30-1 in that range right now.
Basically, I'm going to tell you, there's two horses, but we can do some super exotics. Morenci, stay tuned.
All right, we'll get to the horses in a second. Let's start off with the dogs, the pups. Puppy Bowl.
Yep, Puppy Bowl.
So what's the deal here? Word on the street is Team Ruff's laying 8.5 points?
Yeah, Team Ruff looks pretty good right now, -8.5, but Team Fluff getting 8.5 points, too. Taking a look at the dogs, Blitz on Team Fluff, +750 is the MVP, Morenci. See, I know back in the day, you used to do some damage with Bud Light as a dog against Bud in the Bud Bowl. But basically, in this Puppy Bowl, we got to hope. One dog ran for 600 yards. The problem was you didn't take the ball into the end zone. You need to pick it up before you get into the end zone. So, you know what? If you're giving me 8.5 points with Fluff, I think I'm gonna have to take the Pooches.
You're damn right. I'll take my chance with Team Fluff. They got a great defensive line. Buddy Love. Blitz. We can't forget about Daphne. Daphne.
Daphne.
Daphne, you know, by the name, don't let the name fool you, man. Daphne is a real beast on the field, all right? I don't know, like, +8.5, Cam. I'm leaning Team Fluff.
Fluff. Always give me the points. I'll take Fluff.
Team Fluff.
We got some great
props
here.
Yeah, see, Bud Bowl. We don't have the Bud Bowl anymore.
No, Morenci used to
and
do some
I'm
damage.
I'm sure only Camera 1 will even know what the Bud Bowl is. Camera 2, Camera 3, Camera 2 and Camera 3 can tell you, how Tinder works.
Yeah.
And they can tell you about this week's Bachelor, but they don't know Bud Bowl. So Bud Bowl is real cool. It's in the early days of Bud Light. Me and Cam are so old. Light beer was not popular before,
no,
so they started to push Bud Light. And they had a Bud Bowl, and it was on like the Super Bowl, during the commercials of the Super Bowl. And it was like animated beer bottles.
Yeah.
And they were playing football on a field. And the balls would move. And I can admit this now because, you know what it was? It was the year that San Diego got killed.
By San Fran?
That Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I actually knew a guy who worked on the graphics.
For Bud Bowl.
And he told me, Bud Light wins.
Yeah, we need.
He goes, they're pushing Bud Light.
Yeah, they
big
need
campaign on
lower
Bud
calorie
Light.
Beers. Take the points.
Bud Light wins. In the old days, all the local sports bars and bookies had parlay cards. So you go to your local sports bar, you ask the bartender for the parlay card. It would be all the point spreads. Yeah. And for the Super Bowl, they'd have a couple of props. And the Bud Bowl was one of the props. I played like 50 of these tickets. And the thing is, you have to take two games on the ticket, the parlay card. So I had one automatically. Yeah. So I was like, Bud Bowl prop, Bud Light, Niners, Bud Light.
Over. Bud Light, Ricky Waters.
He came in, he's like, geez, you really like Bud Light, huh? He's like, why are you betting? I'm like, I don't know.
I'm a fan of light beer.
I just think that, they're trying to push Bud Light. And he's like, you're crazy, man. I'm sitting there during the game. Come on, Bud Light! And the ball, you know what I mean? They had Keith Jackson was the announcer. Whoa, Nelly, there's Bud Light coming down the 40-yard line. Great stuff. So Lady Gaga props, Kev, you got a couple, huh?
Morenci, I got you locks. I mean super locks. I'm going to go to, there's some really things that I like here. I'll go to the cam. Lady Gaga hat / headdress, -150, lay it down. You know she's going to wear a hat. Plus sunglasses? Plus 175, hat and sunglasses. But this is the best one, Morenci. You know, dead artists. David Bowie, Prince, plus 200, plus 250. You know she's going to do a montage, especially with Bowie and Prince. Yeah. That's
Will
a lot.
Will she show tribute to David Bowie, to Prince?
Yep. Plus 250.
Leonard Cohen.
I'm not sure about Leonard Cohen, but I'm willing to put David Bowie and Prince in there.
That's right. So if she plays a David Bowie, the thing is, she sings the greats. Yeah, she's not going to do the whole song, so she'd have to do a verse or something.
Yep.
I think this is a great bet. I think you're onto something here, Kev. Listen, David Bowie is an icon.
Yep.
And Prince is an icon. Lady Gaga loves Prince and David Bowie. Both Prince and David Bowie were very vocal and pro about being open about your sexuality and all that type stuff. So is Lady Gaga. There's no way in hell she doesn't pay tribute to Prince.
Exactly.
There's no way. I didn't see this. It's a winner.
What about this one?
Plus 250. Lady Gaga will pay tribute to Prince.
Plus, listen to this one, Gabe. Floyd Mayweather bet between 100 and 250K at plus 200. I like that.
Oh, Floyd will definitely bet. Floyd will put $500,000
Okay,
on
so
game.
That one's even better. That's like plus 400.
I love that. No, guaranteed. Guaranteed. Floyd will bet at least. So what's the number?
I think that for over 500,000 is 4-1. But we got Team Fluff we've talked about. And I got an issue. Wardrobe malfunction used to be 15-1, but now we're seeing 5-1. People are thinking it could happen.
That's my fault because I told people about this earlier in the week.
Zip it up with the
props. Last time the Super Bowl was in Houston is when Nipplegate happened with Janet Jackson. What better time for Lady Gaga to pay tribute to Janet Jackson
too.
In the same stadium? There's another one too. What color will her hair be? Now, generally, it's yellow and blonde.
I'm thinking pink.
I think pink at plus 1500 is a great bet. You just had the Women's March recently. They were all wearing pink hats.
Yep.
She wanted to show solidarity with them. The NFL has reportedly told her, don't get political, don't rip Donald Trump.
But she can do it. It doesn't matter about the hair.
Well, yeah, and exactly. So she can do a subliminal, I stand with the women of America, but with pink hair. And the Trump prop, I think she will rip Trump. But she won't say his name, so he won't get paid.
Nice hair, though.
She'll say, "Oh, the people in power or whatever."
Yeah. And, she won't say Donald J. Trump.
She won't say Trump's name specifically. I like this. Pie's the limit. How many slices of pizza will Domino's sell on Super Bowl Sunday?
I don't know.
Over 11.5 million or under 11.5 million?
That's tough because I know chicken wings is big. I think it might be under. And Papa John is a friend of the NFL. So what's the deal with Papa John and Domino's? Do they have like a little bit of a thing going on?
That's good because there's a prop I've seen at a book that a lot of us play at. Over under Peyton Manning commercials, 1.5.
Over.
The guy does nationwide. He does Papa John's. He owns like 400 Papa John's locations.
That's a lot.
He's buddies with Papa John. Yeah. They get drunk. They do the ads. So you got you need one Papa John's ad. Who's the official sponsor of the Super Bowl? You got a multiple Super Bowl champion in Peyton Manning? You telling me he's not going to be in the commercials?
Correct.
Come on, man. He's going to be in the commercials. He does that nationwide your side thing.
Yeah, and the songs and everything.
They're not on
your side. I'm seeing four Manning commercials. Over.
All right. I like these prop camps. So what you got to do, go through them all.
Yep.
And next week, we'll get the Cam Stewart list. We'll circle them all.
Yep.
Do you like? But let me throw a quick one at you before we get to the horse racing.
Yep.
Oh, no, we only got 1 minute already.
Horse racing. Okay, horse racing. Hey, watch out, people. California Chrome might be the favorite 6-5. Arrogate is a closer. 1 mile and an eighth. I'm telling you, he did it at the Breeders. He came out of nowhere on the stretch to catch him. If you want to do exotics, Arrogate, California Chrome, and four horses I got for the trifecta and superfecta. I like Noble Bird, Shaman Ghost, Keen Ice, and Breaking Lucky. Canadian connections, too. Mark Cassie, one of the best trainers in the world. Watch out, Keen Ice, third in the Breeders after these two horses. I'm telling you, Morenci, I can really feel it. I am going down Superfecta Boulevard. I'm going to take Arrogate, California Chrome, and the rest, and then hope for the best, and hope that Arrogate wins because I'll get better take back.
California Chrome is going to be, I'm surprised he's still racing. It's his last race. They're putting him out the stud after this race.
Yeah, he's a stud.
He lost to Arrogate in the past. Arrogate's the best horse in the world right now. Arrogate's going to win minus 125.
You got it.
Quickly, Cam, on the way out. Tiger Woods, four-round score next week at the Dubai Desert Classic, or Tom Brady passing yards? What's Tiger going to put up? Like 285?
Wow, that's amazing.
I got to go with Tom Brady.
I'm going to go with Tom Brady, too. That's a great prop.
Yeah.
Ooh, these guys are really thinking, eh?
Yeah.
Tiger Woods 4 over right now, though.
Here's another interesting one. Blessing would love this one. We'll get to this next week with you, though. You got Golden Knights.
What, Las Vegas?
Golden Knights, total points in the season.
Yeah.
Or rule out more. Las Vegas Golden Knights in the season, Devontae Freeman rushing yards in the Super Bowl.
Freeman, yeah, rushing yards.
And Freeman is plus 20 and a half.
Give it to me, Freeman. And the over. Let's rock.
You got to talk about patience, though. You bet the Super Bowl, and you got to wait the entire NHL season.
It's like MLB futures, buddy.
Only rich wait a people while. Like Mikey can do that. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues to welcome Pat Mayo into the studio. I got a million papers here, man. I'm already disorganized. Day one of all these props. Man, we got a lot of props out here.
We got the game, too.
We do have the game. The game.
The big game.
No, the money's in the props. I've learned my lesson. As somebody who's 2-5 picking winners in the last 7 Super Bowls, I'm more interested in the props this year. But I brought it up with Cam on the way out, actually. He didn't get a chance to really break it down. It's kind of a tough one, but I'll put you in the hot seat right now. Tiger Woods next week in Dubai.
Okay.
Tiger Woods is in Dubai next week. His total score. 4-round aggregate score.
So par would be 272, which means Tiger's probably going to be like 278.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. 276, 278.
Yeah, he shoots over par, yeah.
All right. Versus Tom Brady passing yards in the Super Bowl. But Tom Brady is minus 18.5 in this prop. So he's minus 18.5.
So he needs to get to 300 yards.
Yeah, but it's amazing. Offshore right now, Tom Brady's prop is 315.5. So
well, if that's the case, then you just bet Tom Brady blindly.
I tell you what, you're getting good value here because Vegas set Tom Brady at 300 yards. That's why it's the 18.5 where Tiger Woods is. This is what I was talking about earlier in the program. If you shop around and you really analyze and break these props down, you can make some money on these props. What props have caught your eye so far?
The Super Bowl halftime show. Which artist is Lady Gaga going to cover? Now, I think Prince is probably the easy answer. He's at 2-1. That probably does end up
plus
happening.
Plus 250.
Well, plus 250. That's right. How about George Michael? 5-1. You talk about Lady Gaga being a gay icon. You're going to have Prince in there. You're going to have David Bowie in there. It's not like George Michael is devoid of that either. So as a tribute to George Michael, who has passed very recently compared to these other guys who passed almost a year ago, seems like George Michael might be on the table.
I like where you're going with that at 5-1. I think it'll be a medley, actually.
Just bet them all?
No, it could be a medley.
I wouldn't say Leonard Cohen or Glenn Frey is going to be in there.
I don't really think Glenn Frey of the Eagles is going to make the cut. Take it easy. She's going to sing Take It Easy to everyone panicking. Oh, my God, I got the over. It's only 17 points at the half right now.
There was another one, too. It's Lady Gaga. Will she mention either President or Trump during her show? No. Minus 175. She's not.
I agree with you. I don't think she will. I think she's going to.
But she won't say President or Trump.
She'll say the people in power or we won't be divided. She'll say something.
Because it says must use term President or Trump. So that's not happening.
Yeah, the wardrobe malfunction has been coming down all week. That's a little ambitious.
That's not happening.
She's probably not going to do it. She's half naked to begin with. What is she really going to flash? Like, there really should be a prop. We should be completely covered, to be honest. As you stated, we got the real props coming out right now as well, Pat. So I look forward to next week. We'll get some more of the head-to-head crossover sport props. What else you got there?
This one just caught my eye. Do you think that after the Patriots win that Tom Brady is going to wear a Make America Great Again hat? That's 22-1. He's probably not going to do it.
There's no way in hell.
That's interesting that's on the board.
There's no way in hell.
That's his good buddy Trump.
Is there a prop that he tells Goodell to go F himself?
Oh, that would be nice. I didn't see that one, but no, yes, there's maybe. Can we talk about the game for a second?
No prop there. Yeah, all right, Pat. So who do you like in the game since you're not going to be here next week?
I don't love it either way because almost like you, last year kind of scarred me how in I was on the Panthers and it just blew up in my face, lost all my money. But I'm going to stick with the Patriots here. One of the big things, the minor. -3. I mean, that line's not going to move. That's staying at -3.
It could. If it does move, it's going to 3.5.
Yes.
It's not going to 2.5. So if you like the Patriots,
bet them now.
It's not going to get any better.
And this was one of the best studies. You can run all these trends in the Super Bowls. You can run all these stats, everything you want. But one of them that really stuck out to me, first-time coaches playing Bill Belichick are 3-22 against him. He kills people the first time that they see him. He knows what to do. They have no clue what's coming. The game plan of Bill Belichick is going to be so much better than Dan Quinn's that I just think that's going to end up being the difference.
And one thing we should note,
where it's only 3 points, I think that's going to be fine.
We should note, though, Pat, Dan Quinn has been to the Super Bowl before. He's been to a couple of Super Bowls. His Seattle, Seahawks.
Sure, sure. He lost to the Patriots in one of them. Didn't he?
It wasn't his fault. He didn't call the pass play, Pat.
Oh, okay.
All right. Bevel called the pass
play. As a head coach,
I hear that.
I just thought that was very fascinating.
No, listen, experience, it has to be taken into consideration here. And we saw a similar situation last year. Team from the NFC South dominates the competition throughout the year. Number one offense. Last year, Carolina was the number one offense. And the difference is Carolina had the number two defense. Atlanta's got the 24th defense. New England are top five in both offense and defense.
By DVOA, they're only 14th. So a lot of what they've done in terms of total yards.
Yeah, I don't buy into that crap. You know, when I look at defense.
I do, because it's actually quite predictive.
No, to me, all that matters, how many points do you give up?
Yeah, but I mean.
They give up this DVOA. No, well, they give up 15 points.
Yeah, but the big thing that DVOA factors in is the strength of schedule. And I mean,
crap.
It's not crap. I mean, when you play some of the worst teams in the league, you have to adjust it
somehow.
You
play who's in the league.
Yes, I understand that. That's why they're in the Super Bowl. They win these games. But when you're playing San Francisco you're playing the Jets and you're playing the Bills, you're probably not going to give up 35 points a game. When you're playing the Saints all the time.
They just shut down the Steelers last week.
Sure, and the Steelers have, what, averaged 17 points a game on the road so far this season?
19.
Oh, wow. They're just killing it on the road, aren't they?
Well, what are the Patriots average? 24 points, like 22 points on the road. That's what teams score, Pat. Like, it's not like.
But you can't point to their scoring defense. Scoring defense is not very predictive. It's just a.
The amount of points you give up in a game means nothing, Pat. You're right.
To the win total. Listen, we're talking about projecting. You're talking about stuff that's already happened.
Yeah, I'm talking about facts.
Well, you're talking. But how is that predictive? So now they're playing Atlanta, the best offense. How is that offense when they haven't faced an offense that has been this good all season? If they had played, let's say they had played the Saints,
I'll tell you how it comes into play.
Okay.
New England gave up 15 points a game.
Okay.
Atlanta scored 33 points a game.
Okay.
So we're going to meet in the middle. Atlanta will score 24 points or so.
They're going to score more than that. The Patriots are probably going to put up.
So you like the over then?
I do like the over here. When I look back at the Patriots' wins, at least the last three, I mean the Giants games, it was 17-14, 21-17 in the three wins. 24-21 against Philly, 32-29 against Carolina, 28-24 against Seattle. Atlanta has by far the best offense of any of those three teams. That Philly team was good. They were playing with the banged up T.O. in that game. I mean, I know it's not the same team, but New England's not afraid to get into a shootout with Atlanta, and no one has proven they can stop Atlanta this year. They went up against good defenses. They went up against Denver at their peak in Denver, put up points. They went up against the Seahawks at their peak in Seattle and put up points.
Oh,
they're not
offense.
Going to have a problem putting up points on New England because they're going to say, you know what? It's hard to run on New England. We're just not going to do that. We're going to pass the ball 45 times.
But that's what everybody thought about the St. Louis Rams team that had a better offense than Atlanta Falcon team, and Belichick beat them.
I would wager that defense for New England was better than the defense that they have now. I would.
Yeah, I can't disagree. I mean, they had some great, you know, we had Ted Johnson on yesterday, Teddy Bruschi, Vince Wilfork, Mike Vrabel. They had a great defense, but this Patriot defense is a no-name defense. Now, one thing I will say about the Falcons defense, it's better than their numbers actually indicate. In the second half of the season, because if you look at the scoring, the Falcons gave up 24 points per game, which is a lot. They're 23 and a half or whatever. They're ranked 24th in points allowed in the NFL. They had leads a lot. But in the second half of the season, they only gave up 18 points per game. And we saw in the playoffs, they did get after Wilson.
Vic Beasley's been the catalyst to generating turnovers. When you look at their defense.
But he hasn't done anything in the playoffs.
He hasn't, but the Atlanta defense as a whole, it's a lot like the Chiefs defense. Like, people always point to the Chiefs defense as being really good. It's not really good in allowing.
They're average.
They give up a bunch of points. They give up a bunch of yards, but they generate turnovers. And that is what the Falcons have been doing so far in the playoffs. I think it's 10 straight games or 11 straight games with at least one turnover generated. And that's how you have to beat the Patriots. You have to take away a possession. You have to stop the clock at the end of the second or the end
of the second. The Patriots don't turn the ball over.
They're
both number one in the NFL with the least turnovers. They both have turned the ball over only 11 times all season. Matt Ryan doesn't turn the ball over either. But I disagree with you, Pat. I think the Patriots aren't going to want to get into a track meet with these guys.
They're not going to want to, but
they're going to run
the ball. No one can stop the Falcons offense.
Well, we'll see if the Patriots are able to.
Yeah, I guess so. But the thing is, you can take away Julio Jones, let's say. And I don't think that's going to be as easy as advertised, as some people are pointing out. But the Falcons run so much motion. pre-snap, that they can get their guys open. And guys like Sanu, guys like Gabriel, the one thing that they are able to do, unlike a lot of other teams in the league, is hit you at almost every section of the field. Whether it's deep downfield, you have Taylor Gabriel for that. If it's for a short in route, you have both Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu. Just, I don't think they're going to have enough to be able to defend them. So, I think they can win the game because they're going to kill them on offense. But you're looking at like a 35-32 game over Patriots minus three.
All right, there's Pat Mayer. We're going to come back with our plays of the day and our DraftKings lineup for the Pro Bowl Super Bowl. All right, let's talk Pro Bowl, Super Bowl, DraftKings. There's no real, tested and true historic trends or perspective to put our lineups together when we're doing the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl. But I am a longtime Pro Bowl bettor, and I do have a pretty good grasp on the Pro Bowl generally. But when it was all said and done, I wanted to take a chance maybe with one of the cheaper quarterbacks in a Pro Bowl. But I know that the Atlanta Falcons are going to have a hard time running the ball in the Super Bowl. The total is extremely high in the Super Bowl, and Matt Ryan is going to rack up fantasy points in the Super Bowl. So Matt Ryan will be my quarterback. Tevin Coleman. I couldn't afford Freeman. Coleman catches passes out of the backfield. And that's the one thing with the Patriots. You can't run on these guys. They only give up 88 yards a game on the ground. But they give up a lot of receptions to the running back position. So I think that Matt Ryan will be dinking and dunking a lot to the RBs. $5,800 for Coleman. Let's go LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount, he's been a trendy fantasy pick through the playoffs, and he really hasn't done very much. But he's been sick. He the flu. He's under the weather. He's feeling better right now. And the one weakness the Atlanta Falcons have is stopping smash mouth running backs. You can run the ball. They're a quick team. You can run right through them. And I think Belichick's going to try to do that. I like LeGarrette Blount here. Julian Edelman speaks for itself, man. Expensive but reliable. He's caught seven or eight more passes in eight straight playoff football games. Julio Jones, no explanation needed here. All right. Tyreek Hill, $1,900. I couldn't resist. Couldn't resist $1,900. This guy's so fast, they can't tackle him when they're trying to tackle him. You think they're going to tackle him at the Pro Bowl? He could return one for a touchdown. He could run a reverse for a touchdown. He's going to be wide open for a bump. I wouldn't be surprised if Tyreek Hill scores a couple of touchdowns in a Pro Bowl. $1,900, love it. Last two Pro Bowls have been 23 touchdown passes thrown in the last two Pro Bowls. Nine of them have been to the tight end. The tight end position, these tight ends are wide open in the Pro Bowl, and the quarterbacks often find them. Last year, Kelsey lit it up. We're going to go Greg Olsen and Travis Kelce, two tight ends. And the good thing about this is, Bennett really hasn't done anything. You don't want a piece of Hooper. So you're better off going to tight end in the Pro Bowl here anyways. And we all know that it's going to be a high-scoring Super Bowl. So why you want to mess with the defense and spend thousands of dollars? Give me the NFC defense for $1,000. All right, now it's our plays of the day. Give me the Hornets to beat the Knicks tonight. I like the Raptors minus the five against the Bucks. Philadelphia 76ers are on a torrid pace, 10-3 last 13. They're covering machines. Give me the Sixers plus the points. They've won and covered six games in a row at home, all as underdogs. Now we're getting 6.5-7 tonight. It's going to be a high-scoring game. Houston, Philadelphia over the number. San Antonio and the Pelicans over the number. It's a little college basketball for you. Valpo's a good team, but I think 9's too high.